It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, we have CNN radio correspondent James Roof from Los Angeles. About 2:30, we're going to be talking to a guy who was at the taping of tonight's Rockstar Supernova. Don't forget that taping is at, or the screening is at 10 o'clock tonight. They don't show the program until 10 o'clock. Because I guess it, I guess at 9 there's some, did we ever figure out what the hell it is? There's some program on at 9 that has children singing heartwarming songs about something or other. And so,
Rockstar... Up with people?
Something, I swear to God, that's what it was. It was something, it was some program, you know, America's Youth, you sing songs of joy and redemption. It was some crap. Tonight, though, it's at 10 o'clock, Rockstar Supernova will be at Dante's downtown at 3rd of Burnside, as is our want. Let's see. I'm going through all of this here. Oh, well, let me just do this there before we,
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please, summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
Let's now, welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, intern Scotty J. How are you, sir?
Real good. Good afternoon.
Yeah, you missed the best part of this program so far, which is during the break when Scotty was lecturing me about, the way that I was speaking about Terry the caller, and telling me that I shouldn't, what was it, what were you saying?
Well, Terry might have 20 friends, and those 20 friends might have 20 more friends, which will
be... Is that microphone crackle back?
Is it?
The microphone, we're just going to have to let that go until 3 o'clock.
I see.
Forget about it.
Don't do that. We're just going to have to acknowledge and move on. Yeah. Is that what, we'll just have to learn to accept it.
It will crackle and it will break and it's popping and it's not going to be fixed for an hour and a half.
Kind of like a nightly beating from your father. You just have to learn to accept it as part of your daily routine and move on and try to make the best of the other 23 and a half hours.
And keep your chin up.
Yes. be a clown. All right, so we had this guy, Terry, we had several people actually call up, because Ed McCarthy's in Boulder talking about the JonBenet Ramsey case. We had all these people calling up, wanted to talk to Ed McCarthy about it. This guy, Terry, calls up, who is shades of this guy, Dan, that called us about a month ago. And Dan, who has already become, I wish to God we had a tape of Dan, because Sarah wasn't here, and she's never heard him, and we reference that guy all the time. And I would love to just play his call back randomly. Because Dan called up and was horrified that Tim Riley and I, during the news segments, did not draw a clear enough line of distinction between what was news and what was opinion or commentary. And he was afraid that people calling in or tuning in to get the news would hear our commentary and believe that that was, in fact, the sort of objective fact and not, in fact, just our opinion. So Terry calls up just now, and he's all irate that the media is spending so much time talking about JonBenet Ramsey, and he's, like, leaping all over Ed and I. If we're talking about that... And I just said, like, well, first of all, what longtime listener of this program would be shocked or offended or even surprised in the vaguest of senses that we're spending a disproportionate amount of time on something stupid?
No, that's not why he was upset. He was upset because I think you belittled him a little bit. About
I completely
his,
belittled
his
him.
His question being, why should I care about this? You know,
well, that's an unanswerable question. Well, I mean, we can't describe why somebody should feel the way that they should.
Seriously, who am I to look into the heart of Terry and tell Terry why Terry should care? That's a question only Terry can answer.
See, if Terry doesn't care, then Terry doesn't care, but Rick obviously does care.
And many, you'll note that when Ed McCarthy was on, many people called in to speak to Ed McCarthy. You will note that of the CNN correspondents today, fully 66% of them are talking about the JonBenet Ramsey case.
Now, we should care because it's a bizarre story, and they're finally catching someone 10 years after the fact.
And it's because we care we're expanding to 4 hours.
That's exactly why it is. That's exactly why this program is going to 4 hours a month. And I'm not saying that we're going to spend all day talking about it. I'm not Miss Marple. But by the same token, you say that nobody cares about JonBenet Ramsey. It's like saying nobody cares about O.J. Simpson. And I'm not belittling Terry personally, Scotty J.
I got to tell you this. I do care. If this guy really did it, this is great. A closing to a real horrific situation.
All I'm saying is
and even if he didn't, at least there's another freak off the street.
That's what I'm saying. And so Terry called up and was bitching about the fact that the media is talking about JonBenet so much. And then he hung up. And I just said, well, you know, that's some nutcase posy of taking time out of posting on a message board, which I believe to be the case. So
when he hung up, instead of, bitching and complaining about JonBenet, you switched it over to bitching and complaining about Terry.
I'm just saying, look, I don't have any personal grudge against Terry.
So did Terry call back? Is this why you
Oh, he did. Yeah.
But even before he called back, Scotty came in, he's like, now you never know, Rick, who might be spreading the word about this program. You should treat your listeners with more respect. There's nobody who treats listeners with more respect than this program. By the same token, when somebody's full of it, I mean, what am I going to do, not point it out? I'm not saying he has to care about JonBenet. I'm not saying he doesn't. I'm saying for any listener of this program to call up and register disgust that the media is, or surprise or shock in any way or disapproval, that the media is spending a disproportionate amount. Do you realize we have a Whitney watch that just features the sounds of a vibrator and someone smoking crack? And the watch
and
itself,
she is not a little white girl.
And she is neither little nor white. Well, she's little now. Do you realize that just the opening theme for that is longer than we spend on, like, the entire war in Iraq most of the time? Just the theme song for that is longer than we spend talking about the war.
Oh, I know about long theme songs.
I'm just, that's what I'm
well,
saying.
Well, Scotty, you know, after a while you realize that the listeners, they're tougher than you think they are. Terry's fine with
but
it.
He knows I
they're
say
a resilient
love.
Bunch.
I only hit Terry because I love him, and he knows that to be the case.
Oh, okay.
I was he knows that if I stop loving that. Him, no one else will. All right.
Okay,
so
well, I was out of line.
I know they don't teach you this at Mount Hood Community College, Scotty. These are things you have to learn on the streets.
Well, they've stopped teaching me now. I'm out of school, in case you didn't notice.
Did you graduate?
This is the real world.
No, you graduated.
Yes, I'm done.
You graduated like last month, right?
That's right.
Yeah, the class song.
Did you walk out to Sweet Home Alabama?
What color robes did you wear?
Red.
Oh.
Okay.
And there was no song. All well, right. There was a band there, actually.
Okay.
Who was the commencement speaker?
They didn't ask you to DJ? All right. Thank you, Scotty.
Okay, thank
All right,
you.
There you go. It's 503-733-2970. We should take a break here so we can get back on schedule. When we come back, we will go to the city desk for more of Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
And the crackling microphone.
The crackling microphone. It's really just another part of the experience here at CBS Radio Portland. Coming up later on, we'll talk to somebody who was at the Rockstar Supernova taping on Sunday. Dennis Pittenberg is going to be stopping by, and we will... stalking by. And we'll have more of your emails and phone calls. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Don't forget, you can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up at the top of the hour, CNN radio correspondent James Roop will be here. Later on, about 2:30, we're going to talk to a guy who was at the Rockstar Supernova taping last night, or Sunday night, rather, which is the one that airs. You know, I get this whole thing where all week I've been thinking it's another day. He was at the Rockstar Supernova taping on Sunday, and that's the one that airs tonight. Don't forget, it airs an hour later than normal. It airs at 10 p.m. tonight. Will be at Dante's on 3rd and Burnside. Also, don't forget that as of next Monday, August 28th, this very fine radio program extends itself to 4 hours in length. Stephanie Miller is going to be going until 10 a.m., and we will be airing from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. every day. So the Rick Emerson Show, at long last, extends itself by 33%. We'll be going 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., Monday through Friday, as of Monday. Tell you friends. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's make way for Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
You're listening to the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
From higher down the bottom of the coin tower, downtown Portland, Oregon, this is the Ministry of Truth. Well, Chief Sizer says she favors relaxing a ban on visible tattoos to attract more police recruits. She says she's interested in changing the policy because she realizes that young people adorn themselves in ways we generally didn't when we were 21.
Didn't she really say that? Uh-huh. Young people adorn themselves?
Adorn themselves in ways we generally didn't do. Well, who started this no tattoo rule? Chief Mark Croker, that Sue. Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
And former Chief Foxworth eased the restrictions during his tenure, allowing men to have mustaches and goatees, and women to have longer hair because he thought it was sexy. He also limited...
among many things that he found sexy.
And poetry. He encouraged the writing of poetry during business hours.
He found chocolate bodies especially alluring. Also dyed blondes and hot tubs.
He also lifted Croker's no earring restriction, allowing one earring stud... for a police woman.
Yeah, the words lifted and stud are all in this. It's just too much to deal with. I'm just going to have to just blink and move on. Oh, let's see here. Oh, I have a little surprise for you before we move on, Sarah Dillon.
It wouldn't be Wimbledon if there weren't strawberries and cream. Excuse me, eating, talking about my mouth.
Looks like you made a choice
of that. But the well, let's face it, yeah. Mmm, lovely strawberries. Lovely summer afternoon. Bit overcast, the weather, but we have got some splendid tennis.
Oh, that's fantastic. Where did you get that? That's Richard Quest.
I save everything.
Oh, I love
Here's
that
Here's another
guy.
One. It's two for Tuesday.
Really?
The royal family showing emotion has really set the key for everything that's happened since, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, again, qualified emotion. I mean, we're not talking about gnashing and wailing of teeth here. But, you know, well, I'm afraid you've probably got two of the wrong people here to be questioning. Because once you start either of us off on the royal family, you're probably going to get more than you bargained for. Since I think you could wax lyrical on this subject for hours.
I love that guy. You know what it is? It's with him, it's all about the sort of, it's sort of about the big, drawn-out, upward-inflected vowel sound. More than you bargain for.
That's at press conferences, actually, not shunted to one side of the annex, but in the main reception rooms of the palace. They've actually let the wolves in the front door and given us a cup of tea and a biscuit at the end of it all.
And one more.
Oh, that's so great. There's no American equivalent to him.
Yeah.
What will be fascinating is when the next scandal, when the next really important scandal, we nearly had it with Prince Harry, with the drinking and drug-taking incidents. When we get a really big scandal, will the press and the media turn on the royal family as they did after Diana, and they have on several occasions? At the moment, the media and the press is with the Queen. The surveys are showing she's very popular at the moment. But, you know, it's probably a mile wide and an inch thick.
Snicky, snacky, wacky, cracky. You know what he sounds like? If fellow geeks in the house will know this, if you listen to the book on tape adaptation of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams, he sounds a lot like... I realize now that I'm heading into a geek tunnel with this, but we'll come out okay on the other side here in a second. If you listen to the book on tape... read by Stephen Fry of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, is written by Douglas Adams. He sounds a lot like the whale that is created when they turn on the infinite improbability drive that's created in midair next to the bowl of petunias. And as the whale is plummeting to the ground, a big sound, sort of like ound, sort of like a round ground. I wonder if it will be friends with me. That's exactly what he sounds like right there. And he is fantastic. Richard Quest, God bless him. Did you just discover that in the archives?
I did, yes.
So I thought all of that stuff was gone and lost to me forever.
Oh, in the dusty recesses of my
right there,
my
inside the Fortress of Solitude.
Yes.
Let's see. Rick, will Delana be singing her hit song tonight? Cats in the Cooler. It's fantastic. Hello, Pam, you're on
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
I'm okay. You're on the Rick Emerson.
Babe, I gotta tell you, you're the prettiest girl at the ball. Lighten up. Just because people disagree with you don't mean that they don't love you. Lighten up.
Okay. I can tell what kind of call this is by the fact that I only got like a syllable and a half out before I was shunted.
Okay, let me slow down.
To the side.
Let me slow down, love.
Yes.
You're witty, you're bright, but you don't speak ex-cathedral. You're wonderful, but lighten up, okay? Stop taking so much coffee. People can disagree with you and not hurt your reputation. You're a wonderful person, and I love you, and I listen to you, even though I disagree with many things you say. So just lighten up, babe.
Have I called some daily affirmation line or something by mistake? Is this sort of and you are okay, you are smart, you are attractive.
You seem to need to hear that today, for some reason.
Also, I need to be held.
I know, but you know what? I can't do it.
Are you in some sort of a chair? Is that do you just have hooks?
No, I got somebody else's potty that I have to clean. But I do love you, and I listen to you faithfully, and I want you to know you are the prettiest girl in the room. Gotta go, love. Bye.
I think that was somebody in drag.
Okay. I honestly don't know how to feel about that call.
I had three snake stories. and people are going to be very upset if they don't hear them.
Thank you. Thank you for giving me a graceful exit from that phone call. Okay, here's Tim.
Stories that can no longer wait to be told.
Here's Tim Riley.
Okay. two live Diamondback rattlesnakes were released into an Arizona movie theater during the showing of Snakes on a Plane. Authorities said pranksters released the young venomous rattlesnakes into a dark theater at AMC Desert Ridge.
Pranksters.
They caused a panic in the dark theater, according to reports. Wranglers were called to collect the snakes. Nobody was injured in the incident. So far, the culprits have not been caught. They believe the snakes were smuggled into the theater in backpacks.
I think really when you're releasing venomous rattlesnakes into a theater, that somehow goes beyond. Prankster is when you put like flaming dog poo on a guy's porch. Yeah, I think actually venomous snakes go one step beyond that at most. All right.
Pennsylvania man who rescues snakes and other reptiles said the movie Snakes on the Plane is misleading. The show that most snakes will not bother humans, Jesse Rothbacker, got into a box filled with snakes, including a 50-pound python and a boa constrictor, and all about two dozen snakes were with him in the box. In the movie, these snakes are portrayed as cold-blooded critters. They're not bothering me at all, quite frankly, because I'm not a mouse. They know I'm too big to eat, and there's no reason to wrap up somebody they can't swallow.
No, this is, and see, it's hard to figure out whether this is actually just more a plane. Because remember in the months leading up to Snakes on a Plane, how there were news stories everywhere. Every time you picked up a newspaper, every time you went to Yahoo.com, there was some sort of snake story. And it was all clearly stuff that was being engineered by New Line. And I'll tell you this, I was talking to somebody about this the other day, people talking about how this movie only made $15 million at the box office. That is, as Hannibal Lecter would say, that is incidental. Whether the movie ends up being a huge financial success or not has obviously changed the way that you market motion pictures forever. I mean, there will never again, I'm telling you this right now, there will never again be another major studio picture, and certainly not another independent picture that isn't marketed using a lot of these same techniques. Up to and including this business of planting news stories about these snake, like in this case, the snake guy, and then the snakes in the theater and whatever. All right.
Meanwhile, our final snake story. The garter snake slithered closer to becoming the official reptile of Massachusetts. The State House passed a bill that would so designate the snake. The idea was proposed by fourth graders. The bill needs approval from the Senate before it can go to the governor.
How proud you must be. Oh, wait, you're not from Massachusetts. That's Kristen.
No.
All right. Let's do a couple more here, and then we'll talk a little Rockstar Supernova here.
Well, town officials of Dewey Beach, Delaware, said police officers accused of drinking on a Girls Gone Wild bus this month are no longer on the force.
That's fantastic.
One officer chose to resign instead of facing disciplinary action. The other, who maintains he only had an energy drink, left the force to attend college. Meanwhile, Paris and educators in Athens, Georgia, unhappy with a coupon book handed to University of Georgia students at bookstores. The booklet includes discounts for drinks at bars and 20% off a local bail bond company. One bookstore owner said he disliked the ads, too, but must continue distributing them under a contract with the advertisers. And finally, Bob Dylan says modern recordings sound atrocious, and even the songs on his new album sound much better.
Does it say anything about the status of his lawn and whether or not he'd like children to get off of it?
Let's see. I don't know anyone who's made a record that sounds decent in the past 20 years, really. Okay. You listen to these modern records, they're atrocious. They have sound all over them. There's no definition or nothing.
No, these are defective. Sir, I'd like to return these records.
No
vocal, sound all over
no
them.
Nothing, just static.
Okay.
Even these songs probably sounded 10 times better in the studio when we recorded them. CDs are small. There's no stature to them.
I like to say a lot of things that are obvious and don't make any sense out of context. CDs are small and silvery.
Meanwhile, Tony Bennett has slammed his home country for not contributing anything other than jazz music to the world of culture. If I rule the world, Kruder feels that Europe and Asia would be far better off culturally than America does. But it says, I've traveled around the world to Asia and Europe. They show you what they've contributed to the world. The British show you theater. The Italians show you music and art. The French show you cooking and painting. And the Germans show you science. The only thing the United States, which is still a young country, has contributed culturally to the world is jazz.
That is so not true. That is such
it's his 80th birthday.
It's an unbridled load of crap. They used to talk about this. Oh, it was one of those things. When I was going to school, and I don't know about you all, but they there wasn't like a whole lot of art education. They didn't make us take a whole lot of art classes when I was going to school. But
trees.
They didn't give us a writing class or, you know, poetry or painting or music. The only thing they did is that they gave us one quarter of a music class when I was going to private school. I was going to Catholic school. And then once I entered high school, I don't think we ever got an art class again except for drama. I think I took drama and that was about it. But if you take any music classes at an American school, especially an American high school, there's this, it's one of those things that they have repeated over and over again for so long that people now believe it and they just mindlessly regurgitate it as though it's true. And one of those things, and they used to quiz us on this in school. They would give us this stupid friggin' quiz where they would say, what is the only music form invented in America? And of course, the alleged answer to that is jazz. But that is what we call a culturally biased question. You hear so much about standardized tests and how they're crap because the questions are culturally biased and depending on where you come from and when you grew up and what kind of background you came from. You may or may not know certain bits of information. Well, that is a culturally biased question, and it's also just flat out goddamn wrong when they say that jazz is the only music form invented in America. First of all, one would say that inarguably, rock and roll, which is its own music form, which is separate from other forms of music, rock and roll was inarguably, indisputably created in America. I would also note that hip-hop, which is its own music form, regardless of what the guy down the street tells you, regardless of what the guy on KGON would have you believe.
It's all static.
It's all...
The CDs are smaller than metal albums.
There's noise all over this hip-hop. It is its own music form. It was also created in the United States of America. So the next time some tool user in your music... Okay, and I know that we have high school students who listen to this program every now and again when they should be doing something...
summer vacation.
More productive. Tell you what, the next time you're in class... and your teacher tells you that jazz was the only form of music invented in America, you can just recite the little speech I just gave you. And then give him a good kick in the junk. All right. It's 503-733-2970. In a few minutes here, we will break, and then we'll come back with CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. Is this my wife? All right. Do we have the... thank you. That's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, my wife, the lovely Laura. How are you, sister?
Hey. How are you, Goomba?
I'm okay. I got kind of a throat issue going on today.
Yeah, I think you do need a hug.
I think so. He's a little riled up today.
What's
the Viso level like?
It has nothing to do with the Viso. I think that we were thrown off a little bit, or at least I was at the very beginning. You know about show mode, correct?
Yes.
Sometimes you have to become zen with the fact that we can't fix this while we're on the air.
I'm embracing it. I'm trying to roll with the punches. I'm saying that show mode is a very delicate state, and entertainers, anybody who's, you know, does this kind of a thing for a living, they all know that there is pre-show mode, there is show mode, and then there is post-show mode. And this is show mode right now. Now, show mode is like a very delicate bubble. It's a bubble that is floating along in a fragile state, and even the slightest deviation from the norm can shatter it, and then the entire day is just a rolling, cascading ball of fiery pain and disappointment. And so we came on at like 12:01 today, and I believe the very first thing we tried to play was too loud. Tim opened his microphone to say something, and I believe his entire left channel was missing from the microphone.
I just started coming out of my mouth.
Oh, yeah, there's noise all over this microphone. It's all small and silvery. So it's just kind of one thing. It's always something, as they say. I'm fine, though. I'm okay.
I called in.
Are you just trying to step in so that Pam woman doesn't come and hug me? Are you just trying to cut your way to the front of the line?
Exactly.
All right.
Yeah, her soothing voice was threatening, you know, my soothing
voice. Her soothing and somewhat crazy voice.
Yeah.
Did she really say that she had to end the phone call because she was going to clean a toilet?
Did she have somebody else's potty to clean?
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means.
That's a turn on right there. That was the sexiest part of the whole call, was when she told me she had to go and clean a toilet. All right. Let's talk a little bit about Rockstar Supernova, dear.
Because
you are, and I've talked about this a lot, you are, of the two of us, far and away the bigger reality TV watcher.
And the reality expert in the family.
Well, seriously, because, I mean, you're one of the smartest people I know, and yet you constantly just barrage yourself with reality TV programming.
It's my Achilles heel.
It really is. No, that is truly the case. And so you watch, I mean, you watch
Apprentice?
A lot of... The cooking shows, The Apprentice, Wife Swap, and whatever that... What is
Survivor,
that?
I used to watch.
What is the one that's like Wife Swap, but with a different name? Trading Spouses?
Trading Mommies.
The Trading Spouses, I think it's
Yeah, You've Got a New Mommy.
Yeah, and then there's the, all the MTV stuff, like the Sweet 16 and the all of that.
The Real World, I was old school Real World. I watched from, you know, episode number one.
And so, my question to you is this. Is that from a reality TV viewer perspective, because I don't think it's a secret that they sort of edit these to have the same type of story arcs and resolutions over and over again. So you have been watching the webisodes for Rockstar Supernova 2, right?
Yes.
All right. So based on what you have seen on the television show and what you have seen in the webisodes, which I have not watched.
I know everything. Mark Burnett is my bitch.
It's all
clear to me.
You're kind of channeling Delana right now. It's all about me. I know everything. I am the chosen one. Based on your history as a reality TV viewer and what you've seen, what do you think story arc-wise we are getting set up for on Rockstar Supernova? What do you think is going to happen just based on how characters are generally created and dealt with?
Okay, Delana, I think, is going down. She's one of two arcs. She's either the hero arc or the, she thinks she's all that arc.
So you think she might be being set up for a fall?
Exactly. I think she's been built up from the very start. She was this super person, but we don't like a lot of power and kind of the pompousness and self-confidence in women, especially. We don't deal well with that, so we need to take them down in the end. So that's
not my opinion, of course. I view women as wonderful creatures who are. But are you?
Especially in this last webisode, she gets uppity. She doesn't know her place, and she starts having independent thought, and we can't have that. So I think she's going to go down.
And now you're suddenly channeling Gloria Steinem. So is this? Are you just saying that in your experience as a reality TV viewer, this is how female characters they sort of get built up and then they get knocked down at the last minute?
Yes. And especially some of her her kind of uppityness came at Lucas. And Lucas has been the under-the-radar guy. And the under-the-radar guy is always like the most winningness. He's the winning guy.
There's that college yeah. application coming up. Now, but wouldn't you say that Storm has been more underneath the radar than Lucas has?
You know, I've been thinking a lot about this, and I don't know what arc like Storm fits into because I think we're too involved with her. Like I wonder how much we're picking up about Storm, the subtleties of Storm, because we're so involved with Storm, we're so pulling for her. I was trying to figure what arc she would fit in. I don't know that she's under the radar. I mean, she gets so much camera time. She has those huge reactions to everything. It's like when someone gets booted off the show, it's like someone just killed her puppy. And she's got a lot of camera time. So I wouldn't say she's under the radar. She had the huge stage dive. The nearest story arc I can figure out for her is there's like a crazy bitch arc. That's like there's the crazy girl.
With the boxing thing from this week's episode.
Yeah.
Oh, so is she like what?
Usually, crazy bitches are black or Latina.
Let's clarify. By the way, this is in terms of reality television programming and their editing.
And the characters that everyone plays.
My wife is not noting that crazy bitches are always black. But I know what you're talking about, because it's exactly like, what was that season of The Real World with the stand-up comic and the girl that got dragged out of her bed, and then there was like a full-on smackdown?
Yeah, Kevin and some other
Kevin
girl,
and whatever the girl was. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, too. But
woman, the black woman on The Apprentice, over the top.
Omarosa.
Omarosa.
Now, television does seem to sort of edit things to reflect that. Yeah, you're right.
They totally do. They totally play on stereotypes and use sexist stuff and,
All right, so if you had to call it right now, and this is, again, just based on you as a viewer and what you've seen, if you had to call the resolution of the show and how it ends?
I think the last three people standing will be Delana, Lucas, and Storm.
All right.
And I think that Lucas will be the final one. I think, like, Magni, we can count him out. I think we can count Toby out because you don't have a one-word phrase for either of them.
Like, they're not high concept enough.
He's not the crazy one. He's not, Toby is the kid one, I guess. Is he the one with the kid?
No, that's Magni.
Magni that has the kid? Because he's a lot older than the other. But you're right, they're not high concept enough.
Exactly. And Storm is. And Delana is, and Lucas is.
All right, let's see. We've got our good friend Brad who wants to weigh in on this. Brad, what do you got, brother?
Hey, what's going on? So I'm going to have to go with the Solana's, definitely the Omarosa of this gig.
Well, I haven't seen any of the web stuff, but apparently she is very much, they're editing it so that she looks crazy. Yeah. And so she looks very bitchy
and aggressive.
Well, she
looks manipulative, yeah.
Yeah, she looks like a bad...
The most troubling thing was that she ran naked around the pool.
Really?
That was frightening, actually, to see.
I don't know anybody who wants to see that.
No,
that's,
not at all. But, all right. I am a little conflicted because Rescue Me is on at 10 o'clock, and I've got to TiVo that, so which one do I TiVo?
Well, that's on FX, though, which means it's going to be repeated like 100 times in the next day or two. So, yeah, you got to not watch. You got to, like, there's any question. You got to watch Supernova.
Well, and does the fact that we have an extra hour to drink cause any issues for this evening?
I
think there might be some more heckling.
Yeah, I think it's going to cause a little more violent reactions from the crowd, but I think I'm okay with that.
Outstanding.
All right.
See you tonight.
Thank you, Brad.
See you tonight.
All right. Okay, so we will be at Dante's tonight, 3rd and Burnside, watching Rockstar Supernova, and we'll come see how your predictions pan out, dear.
Excellent.
So, all right, thank you. Love you.
Love you.
All right, there you go. My wife, the lovely Lauren. All right.
You're so lucky.
In that
somebody married you and she's really cool.
I was able to dupe some fool. And I was able to sucker some unsuspecting female into marrying me.
And that's just unsuspecting. Like, she's a very nice, beautiful girl. You're lucky.
Thank you. The best part is the surprise and the shock in your voice.
I was totally surprised when I met her the first time.
It's like with Scott Dowdy. Remember the first time we met Scott Dowdy's wife?
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I mean, no disrespect. I'm not sure what we were expecting. But the first time we met Scott Dowdy's wife, the best part is we met Scott Dowdy's wife backstage, or I met her before. You met her backstage at Barracuda that time for one of the listener parties. And she came downstairs and he's like, hey, sir, I'd like you to meet my wife Maggie. And you're just like, you're really pretty. And then you turned and it was like, way to go, Scott. And like gave him like a little chuck on the shoulder. All right, well, let's take a quick break here. We'll come back with CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. Dennis Pitzenberg are going to be in later on. We'll have more from the City Desk with Tim Riley. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have somebody who was actually at the Rockstar Supernova taping on Sunday, plus like us at 306. You stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio.